Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the culture, everybody. I'm your host, Mr. South Beach. We got Mr. Russ in the building, a.k.a. Mr. Three. And we got Mr. Ramon Hunter,
a.k.a. Mr. Logic.
Okay, how you gentlemen doing tonight?
Yeah, man.
Doing good. Can't complain, man.
Okay. Well, we wanted to discuss some things, and I wanted to start off with let's get on a little college football. We all lived through a lot of great times in college football, but I want to specifically talk about some of the, I guess, greatest teams, per se, from the 2000 era on down to now. So, you know, any suggestions on teams y'all have that was within that time frame of greatest teams from the era?
I don't mean to be biased or nothing, but I like to kick it off with the team that started that era, Oklahoma Sooners, at 2000. I mean, it's Bob Stoops' second year coming out.
That's with Josh Heupel
and, you know, Young Roy Williams, you know, Torrance Marshall. They went to the Orange Bowl and they defeated a veteran Florida State team.
That's the year they screwed over Miami in the rankings to go to that national championship.
Florida State deserved to be there, man. You can't say that.
That was a good year in college football, though.
Great year.
A real good year. That was a good year. That was actually because that's the year that was like whoever, if it was it Florida State who won, and Miami was going to split it, or they was going to try to do a co-national champion type thing. It was something. Because I remember because most people was mad because they felt Miami should have been in the Orange Bowl versus whoever. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Not to pick at Miami fans, and, you know, they always get upset about that. They talking about, well, we beat Florida State and we had one loss. We should go. Well, you got to remember, who beat Miami that year?
That's true. So that's
Washington only had one loss as well.
Don't remind me of that.
It was funny because then again, also that year, I think Oregon had one loss.
Yeah, they beat
Washington. So you could get in. Oh, we beat them and they beat us. But in the end, they had the right two teams in there.
Yeah.
Wait, is that 2000 or is that 2001?
No, that's 2000. That's the year.
I thought Florida State won it in 2000.
No, they won 99.
They lost
to OU. Florida State won 99, OU 2000. And that's why everybody say 0-1 Miami.
We blew Florida out in that Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, sure did.
That was Santana Marshall them last year.
Yeah, Florida had always been ducking Miami anyway. So. But that's what I started off with.
What about that USC team, that 05 USC team?
Hey, that was one of the great. You know, with Bush and them?
Yep.
But the 04 USC. 05 is when Texas beat them.
Yeah. Well, they felt like that was a great team, too.
Was the 04 team better than the 05 team?
Without a doubt.
04 was better than the 05 team. That's the year
the offense was not as good, but the defense was better.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that's why I always put them ahead. And then the way they destroyed Oklahoma in that game. I mean, you had the top four Heisman finalists in one game.
Yeah.
Man, they destroyed them. I mean, Oklahoma played their worst game and USC played their best. So, I have them up there.
05 was the Bush push.
Yeah. Yeah, I think any of these Alabama teams could beat those old teams.
Because 2012 Alabama was the best Alabama team.
Man, that team was
2012?
Yeah.
2012. That's my mind, man. Who was on the 2012 team?
That's the team that stopped LSU from crossing the, 50, if I'm right?
I believe, wasn't that the team that beat the mess out of Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I think that was the most dominant
Alabama team. Alabama teams are so predictable. They all kind of marry each other, so it kind of running what it was.
Exactly. I mean, but you had the one team that, you know, they did lose to LSU, and they got a rematch game. I can't put them up there. I mean, you had the other team. I mean, if Colt McCoy does not get hurt in that one championship game, That's a closer game.
They crushed it.
And so I'm thinking the 2012, whichever year, that team that just rocked Notre Dame, they're the best Alabama team.
They made Notre Dame look like they wasn't even supposed to be in college football that game.
But like Joe said, they mirror each other so much. But these other teams that we're talking about, they were all, like, transcendent. They were, I mean, you're talking about 05 Texas, 04 USC, 2000 Alabama, 01 Miami. I mean.
Check this out. Like, before last year, before the national championship, they had a debate. Could that Alabama team beat the 01 Miami Hurricane? I said, no, it wouldn't even be close. And I say it's nothing against Alabama. It's just, I just don't feel like they were as talented as that Miami team.
No, I always say this. 01 Miami is the most talented college football team ever.
Now, I'll tell you who I would love to see the 01 Miami play against. I'd like to see him play against Jameis.
2013, Florida State. That would have been my last team on the list.
I would like to see them play against Jameis. I think that would be very interesting because Jameis has that it factor that can turn the tide.
They were loaded. They were loaded as well, you know, with Kelvin Benjamin and, you know, Kermit Whitfield, young Dalvin Cook. Still had Freeman on the team, man.
And he was behind Freeman. Cook was behind Freeman. That's great.
Exactly. So, I'd say they would be the last team I had.
Greatest Florida State quarterback?
Charlie Ward.
Where you rank Jameis?
He's out of him and Winky. It's out of him and Winky.
You put him over Winky?
I put him over Winky.
I
put him over Winky, man.
I feel like Winky was more system.
I don't know. Two years from Jameis, and his second year with a lot of interceptions.
That's true.
Plus, Winky was old as crap, wasn't he? Wasn't Winky like
Winky
almost 30 when he came out?
Yeah, he wouldn't play baseball.
Baseball.
Man.
I don't hold that against him. I mean, you can come back and play.
That's true. I mean, that's a major advantage. You got to also say that Winston did it his freshman year, wasn't he? Wasn't he a freshman?
That's true.
True freshman.
Kind of hard to go against.
No, he's a redshirt.
You're right. Because a year later, a year after that, he left.
It's only one true freshman that ever led his team to a national championship.
Drum roll, please. you got to call it out. Who you got, Mo?
It's Jamil Holloway, Oklahoma.
There you go.
And I tell you, I would have got that completely wrong.
I knew that.
Oh my God.
You know who
he took over for?
Who was that? White.
No, this is before White, before Stoops got there.
Way
before Barry Switzer's team.
Whoa,
this is Barry Switzer's team.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Who did Barry Switzer go coach for in the NFL?
He coached in Dallas.
Jerry
who was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? Troy Aikman was at Oklahoma.
I forgot all about that.
Troy Aikman tore his knee up.
I forgot all about that.
And funny story about it, Jimmy Johnson tried to get him to come out to Miami. Troy's from California, though. So Barry Switzer put in the call, got him to UCLA, and that's the end of the story. Jimmy Holloway takes over, goes to a national championship.
I forgot all about that. That is so true.
Man.
Good old Troy. So now let's just kind of go into this since we're talking about kind of, you know, since we go back and forth with the whole Miami Florida State thing, because I mean, rivals, I'm a Miami guy, y'all two are Florida State guys. So what do y'all think are five of the greatest rivalries in college football?
Well, you just said one of them, Florida State, Miami.
How would you rank it? Top two or just staying in the top five?
Man, you gotta really pick that out, man. I don't know if I can answer that so fast. Because I know Michigan and Ohio State.
to me, that is number one.
too.
And I was that, OU in Texas. I grew up on OU.
OU in Texas is pretty strong too. Exactly.
Yeah. OU in Texas. I agree. OU in Texas as well. Those would be my first three that come to mind.
I don't know if I even rank LSU's rivalry with Alabama because it seems a lot more recent that they've become a strong rival. I know they've been rivals for a while,
but it's more lopsided.
And Alabama sees Auburn more as their rival than LSU.
Exactly.
Alabama hates Auburn.
For good reason, too. For good reason.
Michigan, Ohio State.
Florida State. I know Miami and Florida State got it kind of bad with each other. But before I even really knew much about Miami, I said a Miami starter. But even before I knew Miami, man, I always thought Florida was Florida State's like biggest rival all the time, dog. I hated Florida. And I was only 8 years old, 9 years old, dog. Hating
them. Everybody hates Florida. Everybody hates Florida. You know who kind of made me start liking Florida as a secondary team? And it's kind of crazy because I'm a Miami guy. I mean, I wish nothing but death to them when we play them. But I like Fred Taylor. I couldn't help it. I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked the Fred Taylor, and I liked the Javon Curse. I liked them two a lot. So
yeah, Curse was something else, man. I can't lie. So, I didn't either.
So I couldn't really, you know, judge the two. But I really did like both of them. And, of course,
we want to talk about.
I hate to admit it. Peter Warwick. I hate to admit it. I like Peter Warwick.
Oh, one of the best college receivers ever, man.
I hate to admit it.
He wasn't fast at all. And dude wasn't fast, dog.
You put him above Moss?
In college, he was better. We talk about impact on the college game. I mean, this is the receiver that went for the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Moss was two, but now that I'm thinking about it, they about neck and neck.
Man, the only reason Warren didn't get it was because of that little scandal. Remember that scandal?
Yeah,
the little dealer shopping scandal. Yeah, that's the only reason he didn't get it.
And the funny thing is, Laverne's Coles got in trouble more than Peter got in trouble.
That's right.
Yeah, that's messed up. They kind of threw him under the bus.
Yeah,
they threw him under the bus. Yeah.
Hey, them boys had a pretty cold little squad, man.
And you got to think of those three receivers they had. Him, Lavernus Coles, and Ron Dugans. All them played, bro.
Man. Remember that boy Peter Bowen? That was a good team, dog. Hey, greatest college football player all time.
Ooh.
All time. You pick any college football player.
We haven't finished the rivalries, man.
It got me thinking about the history of Rob, man.
So you saying greatest college football player?
All time. If you could pick any college football player from any decade, any of them, who would you pick first overall? I'm probably picking Bo, man.
Tebow?
No.
No,
Bo Jackson.
Oh no. Oh, you just made it a lot easier for me. The greatest college football player of all time.
The greatest of all time.
Herschel Walker.
You want Herschel?
Herschel. It's the only guy I know that should have won the Heisman every year he was in the college. They didn't want to give it to him.
Herschel
should have won it. Herschel. All 3 years, Herschel was the best. You can go Herschel. You can go Tony Dorsett. Only player to rush for 1,000 yards all 4 years.
Give me Marcus Allen up in there.
Marcus Allen?
And you can go with Archie Griffin, the only 2-time Heisman Trophy winner.
True. Well, you must not know about Marcus Allen at USC.
Marcus Allen, yeah. He got, he bid his time behind Charles White, man. So,
yeah. White was a fool, too.
Oh, he was. But I got to go, Herschel above all else. Herschel was the only. He's one of the few people that could have just went straight to the league out of high school.
Man, you know what?
you can be amazing like that, man.
Man, it's only running backs that are built like that. Him, Earl Campbell, and probably Adrian Peterson.
AP was a fool.
One of the only unanimous All-American as a freshman.
I remember they was trying to compare Leonard Fournette to Adrian Peterson freshman year. I said, it's no way.
Oh, man. I remember
I remember when they talked to him his senior year, and they had their little interview. That's when Fox Sports was way better than what it is now. And at their interview with him and stuff, he's just like, I said, this dude looks like a man already. Like, they were showing him doing box jumps with 90-pound dumbbells.
Dude, 2,000 yards, 100 yards every game as a freshman, man.
Yeah. I think the only thing that hurt Adrian Peterson college-wise, he got injured.
Yeah, he had some injuries.
Like, that's the only thing that I think that I feel like.
But I think the thing I loved about him is he still played. He played through it. He came back for the bowl game and played. And
that's
so
true.
I got some problems with these guys sitting out games, man.
I got
you. You got a problem with that?
I don't.
With that, man. I completely understand it.
Adrian Peterson.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't understand it. I just said I got a problem with it. I understand it.
Man, one thing I also have a problem with respect to that is them counting the stats of bowl games. You know, back in the gap, they didn't count the stats for the bowl games. If they go back and add those stats in, man, it'll change a lot of the record books.
That's true.
So I don't like that they don't count the stats on those things, man.
I think they should go back and just add them and change them.
Hey, so, you first round pick overall, man. You would sit out your bowl game?
No. Not even a question. I'm playing.
I'm saying, but the thing is, I feel
a real. But here's the thing, though. If you made it to the college football playoff, you gonna sit out?
No.
Okay. No. It's a bowl game.
What I'm saying is, man, it's almost like they're not really playing for nothing, almost, man.
So when do you start sitting out? When you mathematically eliminate it, do you just stop playing the rest of the season?
You kind of got a point with that. I got to be honest.
I mean, do you not play in your conference championship game? Like, let's say you got a conference championship game, but you can't make it to the playoffs.
That's a pride thing. You have to play in that.
It's a pride thing to play in the bowl game, too. I mean, just because you're not in the premier bowl game, you're going to sit out? If it was the Rose Bowl, Chris McCaffrey wouldn't have sat out. If it was the Sugar Bowl, Leonard Fournette wouldn't have sat out. But neither one of those is in the playoff, though.
I'm going to be very honest. Me personally, man, I just know how I am and just how it was back in the day. We took pride in everything.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's like you're playing like this, just a pickup game. I want to win it. And that's just like that. And I want to win that too. I want to win anything they got the chance to win. So
I got a much simpler saying, you know, everybody know this one. Man, if you're scared, go to church. If you're scared you're going to get hurt, you go out there, go to church.
I mean, it just happened so many times, man. You talking
man,
about
it happened, really? It happened to like two players, man.
Come on, man.
All the players playing, it didn't happen to like two players. You got the tight end from Michigan, you got the linebacker, Jalen Smith from Notre Dame. That's it.
It can happen.
What about your teammates that just played out? What about that whole O-line that dropped for you the whole season and you just going to
play
on them, man?
You kind of selling out on them a little bit, kind of just passing the buck, man. That's difficult, man. You're talking about giving up millions, taking care of your family.
I mean, they're
that's tough
them.
For me, dog.
I feel like
that's
if you're destined to get it, you're going to get it one way or another.
Exactly,
so,
man.
Why play
your senior year at all? Why not just sit out the whole senior year?
I've seen it done. What the boy running back from Ohio State?
He didn't sit out his senior year. He tried to enter the draft, so he lost his eligibility.
Yeah.
Same thing with Mike Williams. He lost his eligibility. He didn't sit out. And you see it cost him. Neither one of them boys was ever the same player.
Never the same. Yeah.
Out of shape.
Claret was a big freshman.
Who's that?
Came in, but
Marie Claret, yeah.
Nobody gave props to that Ohio State offensive line. That was a hell of an offensive line. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
that was a hell of an offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
It was. I was watching the replay of that game. I can't lie. That's a sentimental pick for my favorite. I do like that 0-2 Ohio State team.
Man, you know
I can't stand them. Just for the simple fact that they beat Miami.
You know, that was a screw job. You know they got the documentary coming out.
They already had it coming. I've seen it, man. Hey, man.
But I can't lie now. I'm going to ask this right here. Where was LSU when Florida State, Florida, Notre Dame, Miami, all these schools, Oklahoma, because they were still at Nebraska. Where were LSU when these teams were dominating the landscape of college football?
You got to think, most of those players was going to these other schools.
That's true. And like I was telling a guy the other day, I said, every team, conference have a little era and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right now it's the SEC. I said, it's not going to last forever.
Because
you
can see
right now.
Everybody has their ups and downs. Every conference goes through it. It happens, man.
You can see
you gotta remember
the
talent
level going everywhere now. It's going back to where it was, because it was predominantly SEC for a while, but Florida State won national championship. Oregon State.
That's true, man. That's just true. It's gonna happen. Programs are gonna be up and down. I mean, do you remember where Alabama was before Saban came?
Dead
like,
zone.
With Shula and Mike Price and all those guys and Francione tried, man. What was that?
Would you put him above Bear Bryant?
Oh, I kind of do, man. Personally, I feel like it's harder to win.
Like, it's kind of like what we said. You really can't compare errors.
Yeah, it's hard to
think. You got to think, man, they didn't have a system back then to really decide the national. I mean, they basically just picked who they wanted to be the national champion. And, you know, the Rose Bowl, you were stuck in the Rose Bowl if you was from the Pac-10 or Big Ten. You were stuck in the Orange Bowl if you was from the Big 12 and, you know, Sugar Bowl if you was in the SEC. You didn't play all these other teams. It's kind of easier to define that champion now.
But it's harder to be. You don't think it's harder to be number one like now? Because like it's just a comparison system back then.
No, it's hard. It's harder back then because you got to think. Paterno had 6 undefeated teams and he only won like 2 or 3 national championships.
Yeah,
I had 6 undefeated teams, and that's 3 that didn't even get a look.
And then that LaVar Arica team, they kind of
if you're undefeated, you at least get a shot.
That's true. That's true. Now, I say this. Bear Bryant did one thing. That was when he started allowing them to start. They started recruiting black players to play. Because I was reading some commentary on it that Alabama team he had, they went to play somebody and they had a lot of black players and they crushed Alabama or something like that. I mean, crushed them like it were nobody's. And that's when you start seeing a different change in landscape and they start recruiting black players. Stuff like that.
It was a matter of time. Can you imagine all the best black players in the country still just going to HBCUs now?
Yep, that's how they used to typically be.
That's what they used to be.
The HBCUs.
That would have been. Just imagine that right now. That would be ridiculous, man.
If you had a scholarship right now, what HBCU, from any HBCU, which one would you attend? What school would you attend to play for?
Oh.
Well, I'm biased. I go to Grambling. Dude, they recruited me at college. Coach Fives, he's at Grambling, so, hey.
Thank you, Russ. We'll be right there, all of us together.
Man, I think only because of this historic stats, man, because that's kind of where I'm from, like from that area. So many people I know went to Grambling, man. Lots of people. I don't know if y'all actually been out there recently or, you know, within the last few years, man, but it's kind of run down out there now, man.
They rebuild stuff up right now.
They need to. They really, really, really need to, man.
It looks like they on the up and up, man.
Yeah,
because they're getting a lot of D1 guys transferring from big programs to their school now.
Oh, that's what's up.
Not sure. Didn't they win the championship?
They won the SWAC championship, yep.
They blew a mess out of the Southern. And from what I'm hearing, they loaded for the next 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Not great.
It looks to be good.
Then
the future looks bright.
They just sent that kid to the NFL. I think he went 3rd, 4th round.
Chad Williams in Arizona.
Yeah, they said dude pretty good.
Yeah, he's lighting it up in camp. Pretty good.
Yeah. And I think personally, he's gonna be better than Josh Brown or John Brown.
Well, those guys are burners, but they light, man. So
yeah,
him and JJ Nelson. So,
dude, since we're leading into the NFL category, let's talk about this. just to deviate a little bit from college. Let's go division. Let's talk about NFC South and NFC East right quick. Let's just give some, I guess, some, throw some predictions out there.
All right.
Based off the draft and recent free agency moves, what are your thoughts about the Giants?
You're doing NFC South, right?
No, we're going to go with the East first. I'm sorry.
No, let's start off with the East. All right.
That's your division, baby.
Are you comparing them to the rest of the teams in the division, or are you comparing them to the rest of the NFL?
I'm gonna hit the whole division. I'm gonna talk about each team weaknesses in the NFC East. Giants. True enough, they gave Eli some weapons. Man, he got the tight end. He got Brandon Marshall. I mean, but it's still only one ball to throw around. I mean, so you got Sterling Shepard in the slot. You got Odell. You got Marshall. You got the young tight end, but who's gonna block? You still have Eric Flowers struggling at left. He's a natural right tackle. They didn't address that at all in the draft. And you haven't solved the running back issue. I mean, you lost one of your D tackles next to Snack Harrison. But you did have the emergence of a good secondary. You got Eli Apple. He showed up. I thought it was a reach at first, but he stepped up. I mean, Rodgers Cromartie played great out of the slot, and you have Janoris Jenkins, who earned his money. And that's just to add, you get Olivier Vernon off the edge. The defense looks good, but offense, Eli's not even that type of quarterback. He can't drop back and throw a 40.
Man, Eli's aggressive, too.
Yes, exactly. And it worries me that when they took that quarterback in the third round, it seems like they might be thinking about moving on. So I have them a notch below.
Eli got 2 years max to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say he's done after 2 years. I mean, I don't think people want to think this 2007 or whatever and the Giants is automatically going to fill up a script. And, oh, man, we turn on when we want to in the playoffs. And that's all good and stuff like that. But let's look at y'all records. Only 1 year y'all had like a winning record. I think y'all was 10-6. The other year, y'all was 9-7 when y'all won the Super Bowl. So, y'all wasn't spectacular as a team. You got high at the right time, so you can't take that away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I judge the whole body of work. To me, you was a mediocre team. You won the game. You won games. You did your thing. But what did you do as a whole? Your team, what your work is showing is that you're mediocre. Even when you was 10-6, you wasn't just dominating teams.
Yeah. They found the defense dominated. They got a running game going. That's what helped them win.
Their defense got older.
And I don't see that running. I don't see a running game coming anywhere soon. So
no.
So I would have.
He's on Dancing with the Stars. And I think they sent him anyway. So
yeah, he still hasn't been picked up.
Yeah, he's Dancing with the Stars, and he doing whatever. I mean, he wasn't doing no dancing when they gave him the ball.
Rashard Jennings, yeah, Jennings.
Yeah. It was pathetic. Their run game was pathetic. I thought Tampa game was pathetic, but we had injuries. This game was just pathetic, period.
Yeah, after the Giants, you got the Redskins. I see them just losing. They lose Deshaun Jackson. They lose Pierre Garçon. They had Terrell Pryor, but the jury's not out on him yet.
What's the other little kid?
Wide receiver. Josh Doctson out of TCU. But
like
he had the injury concerns, man.
Yeah.
He just couldn't stay on the field, so we haven't. I don't know yet on him or Pryor. They're both question marks. They're going to do running back by committee. I did like that they got the kid P. Ryan out of OU. He's a tough runner, but
I know
that's what it seems like. They all have a stable. They have a stable of just tough runners. So, and Kirk Cousins, is he a legit, you know, upper echelon type quarterback?
I doubt it. I just don't see it, Kirk Cousins. Me personally, some people see something. I just don't see them like that. He's slightly above a backup quarterback to me personally.
Neither does Washington because they clearly don't want to re-sign him. They keep franchise tagging him.
It's like they're skeptical. They're not completely sure, man. And I'm
watching
the thing there about it.
Washington run everybody. They run RG3, but then also
RG3.
RG3 ego ruined him too because he was he has to take some blame for some of that stuff too. So
I agree.
And being
with everybody had egos, Shanahan and him, yeah.
Yeah. I never did really like the Shanahan. I don't know, it's just something about them rubbing me the wrong way. I'm not saying they're not good coaches, it's just something about them rubbing me the wrong way. I feel like they're a little bit smug, a little bit, like they're a little bit over the top stuff.
Overconfident, kind of.
I think Shanahan is thinking, I got two Super Bowl rings, I can be over the top.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I kind of want to punch him in the face, but that's just off the record.
So violent, man, so violent.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, his face just irritates me. I feel like he's just disrespectful.
Well, somebody on the defense of the Washington needs to try to punch somebody in the face. Because other than Josh Norman out there, it's not looking too good.
Man.
Josh Norman said he's going to give Dez an Odell Bloop this year.
Hey, is Kerrigan still out there?
Yep.
Kerrigan's out there. He's playing decent, but they have no other threats. I mean, they're consistent.
Electro ain't like he used to be. Electro's still out there too, ain't he?
No.
Best one on that team might be Jordan Reed, tight end.
Yeah, I think
Jordan Reed. Hey, definitely. I can go for that.
Yeah. I saw him play with like a dislocated shoulder. He was still snagging.
But honestly don't think – I don't think Washington's going to be that good this year.
I think they'll bring up the rear, and I think Philly takes a step up. I think it's still on paper. We'll see what these receivers do. Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey. It's better than what they had, but they have the same problems the Giants have. They have no running game.
Hey, you know, did y'all see what happened with their GM, Washington, right before the draft, Scott McCall?
Yeah.
That dude right there, he's responsible for building that 49er team. He's also responsible for building that Seattle team. He was building something in Washington, man, and I feel like them letting him go was a major turnaround for a lot of the players there. I feel like that was the reason DeSean Jackson left. Because it was something going on behind the scenes out there, and Kirk Cousins has already put on. He was saying he's not coming back. He said he's not signing with Washington next year. Like he's kind of already known to be leaving.
He's trying to seek his way out. He's trying to get the he's trying to get back with Shanahan and get to San Francisco.
But, I honestly feel like a lot of it had to do with Scott McGowan. I think a lot of people had a lot of respect for that guy.
I think he was going through some things. I think he lost his mother, and I don't think he could cope. So he relapsed in,
drinking
alcohol.
And stuff like that.
So
yep.
I think he couldn't cope, and I think they kind of didn't give him any leeway on it, and it sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks because you really want to help people when they're going through stuff like that. So.
Exactly. I honestly had them for winning the East next year until I saw that whole debacle happen. That's my honest opinion. I honestly had Washington winning the East next year until all of this. Even with the loss of DeSean Jackson, I'm telling you. It was something about the way that they were playing, the way that they were losing games. It wasn't a typical loss to me for Washington, man. They were supposed to be a lot better than they were.
They did play hard, yeah. So I think the division winner the division goes through Dallas.
I think it's definitely going to Dallas.
I think they continue to ball control. I mean, you lose Doug Free, but you kick Lyle Collins over to right tackle. He played tackle in college. You kick him to right tackle. I think you improve that position. The biggest hurt will be when they lost Bernard at guard. That's the biggest hurt. But Chaz Green, he filled in good at tackle for Tyron Smith, so they kick him inside. So I think the O-line will be all right.
Yeah.
And the weapons out there, Dak, Zeke coming back. They have all the weapons. They finally get a punt returner back there. The kid Switzer out of North Carolina. Get Beasley from back there. I don't like him back there at all. I think that can improve on Lucky Whitehead. Defense, you added some young cover men. I mean,
man, I was just going to say, that's the only thing I'm concerned about.
That's the thing I'm concerned about, too. They're young cover men.
Yep.
I mean, you're replacing cover men that didn't work out with young guys. I mean, Anthony Brown, the rookie, he stepped up and played great last year. I had no idea, 6th-round pick out of Purdue, I had no idea he had that in him. They released him. Yeah, they released him. He's with Baltimore now. Claiborne's with the Jets. You drafted a kid out of Michigan who would have been highly touted.
Yep.
He had some off-the-field issues. I like the Jordan Lewis kid. I like Chidobe Awuzie out of Colorado. He could be the flat corner we're looking for to take over for Scandrick. Safety position is the weakest position. I just don't think – Byron Jones is very athletic. He's not instinctive.
I got you.
I like Byron Jones.
He's athletic. He can play man up on tight ends and stuff like that, but he's not instinctive. I mean, he had like zero career interceptions, I think. You rarely see him get his hands on the ball. I actually probably would have liked him better at corner than at safety.
Whoa.
I was impressed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's good. I mean, when they played the Patriots a couple years ago, he held his own right there with Gronkowski.
Whoa.
I mean, he's good when he's asked to just play, you know, man and use his athletic tools. But if he's asked to, you know, be instinctive and roam and jump and make and, you know, break on this route and break on the ball, he's
not a ball hog.
Exactly. He's not a ball hog.
Okay.
Which is why I like the kid out of Louisiana Tech. I like that pick. He's a ball hog. Safety.
You like the kid, too.
So, pretty much, I had zero faith in Washington, so I wasn't even worried about them. I like Philly. I like their little QB. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to improve this year in second year. Like I say, but it always holds up to see what everybody else does around him.
Like, say this, man.
Everything's good on paper, but it's a different story when it comes to being on the actual field and making it work.
And man, look, for a person who kind of – I only follow Philly because I had some a few of their players on my fantasy team, man. Their quarterback, he's decent, man, he is. Of course, he made a lot of rookie mistakes, in my opinion. But a lot of the things that was going on was because of their receivers, man. Their receiving core was absolutely terrible.
I agree.
Terrible.
They had a lot of drops.
Horrible. Yeah, Aguilar, terrible. Easy drops, man. Easy drops.
they ran horrible routes, too.
Agreed. Now, Jordan Matthews, he was decent to me, but he was responsible for a lot of drops himself, man. I think he hurt right now. But, man.
This is why they go get Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith.
Exactly. I think Nick Aguilar is going to take old boy's spot. I know Jordan Matthews is good and fast. I mean, big and fast, but, man, yeah, I'm probably saying his name wrong. That's that issue. But,
Nelson Aguilar.
I like
that. Now, he's the one with the drop problems, too, though.
Oh, he got drop problems. But I can see him at slot, man. I can really see him doing some, just kind of pushing the field a little bit.
Quick rundown of the division. Who y'all got? I got Dallas, New York, Philly, and Washington.
That's the same way, guy. Dallas, New York.
I think Dallas and New York are going to be battling it for the number one. I think Dallas is probably going to – it's hard for me to take it because I feel like New York has a better defense than Dallas. I honestly do. But I feel like Dallas has a more controlled, better offense than New York. But it's kind of going to give and take from there. I don't think New York is going to repeat the same success that they had last year on defense, which kind of worries me and makes me feel like Dallas is going to be the better team. But I honestly do feel like Eli is definitely regressing. And I feel like, man, it's going to be something with that. People ain't saying nothing about it. Eli been playing all these games in a row or whatever. He ain't missed no games. That dude is falling off, man, horribly. Horribly.
So we all agree Washington is bringing up the rear, though.
Pretty much. Washington angle up.
I'm going to say one thing. I'm going to say one thing about that, just to piggyback off what he said. Where's the last game y'all played, y'all last division game? Is it in Dallas this year or in New York?
I think we don't play. I know Dallas plays New York the very first game in Dallas, but the last game in the division I think might be Washington.
Okay. I was trying to see who y'all play last. I think that's gonna decide it, and that's why I give it to Dallas. I feel like Dallas is gonna be a smidge better. I feel like Dez is gonna have a good year, a bounce back year this year. I think he's gonna get at least 1,200 yards. At least.
Whoa.
I say at least 1,200. 1,000 is a successful year to me. 1,100 is great, but I think he's going to get 12. I think he's motivated.
Hey, is 1,000 you're talking about for running back, right? Is that a good kind of marker for you? Oh, okay.
Or for a receiver, anything, 1,000 for a receiver is great.
It is great. It is great. 1,000 for a running back isn't like it used to be to me. It's changing for me, man. I'm like, dude, that dude didn't even have 100 yards in over six games. Like, look, he was having just 70 and 80 yards a game.
You want to have at least 1,400 as a running back.
As a running back to be great,
I don't think Zeke is going to have as many rushing yards as he had last year because I think their passing game is going to flourish as well. But I think he's still going to have like 1,200 plus.
I do think they want to keep him fresher, so you're going to see more McFadden and the other guys. But I think they still have to run it ball control to help out that young secondary, man. They can't.
Yeah.
They can't pass. They can't pass it a lot. So, enough about my division. Let's take a trip to the NFC South. You know, the reigning NFC champion hails in this division. The NFC champion before that's in this division. I mean, you got Adrian Peterson down in New Orleans now, and you got the young gunslinger down in Tampa. What are they going to do down there?
Well, pretty much. I looked at the division as a whole. The division as a whole has a chance to go down with, their offense, pretty much this division, everybody's offense could be at least top 10, top 15. But it goes down to everything else, defense. Currently, I think still Carolina has a better defense than most teams in the division, but you still got to wait and see what they're going to do offensively. And they also lost some players. They have to show up their secondary, so I'm not really sure what they've done to show up their secondary. So I have followed some of their moves, but not too much. Oh, man. Right now, I'm still going to put Atlanta in the driver's seat just based off what they have. But like I say, I got to see what that mental makeup is coming into the season after a collapse, an epic collapse. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. And I don't think they were that unbeatable last year. I feel like they had a couple things work out in their favor.
They had worked out in their favor.
Yeah, so I feel like as far as being a powerhouse in the NFC, I don't believe that part. I believe their offense is still top 10.
I see the offense taking a step back just because of the loss of Shanahan.
Yeah.
Losing your OC and that defense, I mean –
And
what
Big
they
Beasley
did was they was get a lead. They would get a lead, and then they turned Vic Beasley loose. That's why his numbers were deceiving. That's why you didn't hear him in any Defensive Player of the Year talk. Since when does the sack leader not in Defensive Player of the Year talk?
But then there's also they used him like Abraham. You remember how they used to use Abraham? Situational.
Yeah.
They'll get up, and then, boom, they'll let Abraham go ballistic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got the 27th-ranked defense.
But you got to
do better than that. So I think they do take a step back. Carolina, like you said, just because of their defense, I think they have a little bounce back here.
Then the other thing about Atlanta as well is Vic Beasley. Nobody paid attention to him at Clemson. He's not a total, I guess, defensive player. He plays. He doesn't stop the run. He's not a run stopper. His whole overall specialty is rushing the quarterback, and then he still has trouble at times because once you get your hands on him, it's over.
Yeah.
He doesn't have no real, I guess, power move or finesse move, you know? I guess
that's why you go get a hard-hitting safety like Keanu Neal.
Man, that is my dude.
Yeah.
That's my dude. I love Neal. I love the physicality he brings to the game. So,
man, it's just my understake on it. I don't feel all teams could be a top 10 offense. I don't look at Tampa as an offensive team. I look at them as more of a defensive team, more of a ball control team. For them to be offensively great, they're going to need to do a lot better on the run game, a whole lot better. I know they had a lot of injuries last year. I think like their top two or three running backs were actually injured. But it's definitely going to be relying on that. I'm not sure how the offensive line is either. But
it's suspect. That's a suspect offensive line because you don't know. Only person that's decent is the two guards, Marpet. He's good, but they're moving him to center. Since he's the best younger, so Marpet, he's pretty good. I'll give him that. Donovan Smith, it's a make or break year for him because he's pathetic at that tackle. Maybe they have to shuffle him around or something, but there's no way one man should get dominated like that. You know, it's sad.
But I agree with you, Mr. Hunter. I agree with you on that. I don't see none of these teams as the top 10 offense because
I don't look at the yards.
But I see this when I think top 10 offense, I'm not looking at it as yardage wise or just point. I'm looking at it as in an efficiency standpoint.
Exactly.
Are you an efficient? Because I look at Green Bay. When I think efficiency, I'm thinking Green Bay. I'm thinking New England. I'm thinking what Dallas did this year.
Okay.
This past year. You got to be efficient. Yeah, like Drew Brees, he'll rack up yards and he'll get the turnovers. And, I mean, they don't get the rush and they don't do good in the red zone. I mean, because they can't run the ball down there. So,
I think they have two offensive linemen hurt. And they had something else going on. They were talking about it on the radio today, man. But
Armstead got hurt. That's Armstead got hurt,
and their center was hurt. You know, so
Atlanta is the only one that can be efficient because they're the only one that have true balance with the run game in the past game.
Their balance is thrown off because of the loss of the offensive coordinator. I wonder if they're going
to Carolina has to get back to running the ball. They have to get back to running.
Man,
well, they picked up McCaffrey and they picked up the little guy from
Samuel out of Ohio State. They're looking at him as a slot.
They're going to move the slot, okay.
He got some good hands. He has good hands.
I'm talking about good hands for that team compared to what they have.
He's not as bad as Ted Ginn. But.
Ooh, you're talking about Mr. 50-50.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, the Saints fans and Saints world, they happy they got Ted Ginn. I mean, you got Mr. 50-50.
They're going to be happy until he starts dropping them wide-open balls.
Cam Newton dropped from the number one overall player in the league to number 44 as rated by the NFL players. How do you view that?
I agree.
He had a bad year, and
I would have dropped him further.
I look at it like that's actually, to me, an average year by Newton. The years before that was more similar to this last year than it was to that year when he had.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. I'm glad I'm not the only one that saw that.
I'm saying a story like this, too. I think me and Russ touched on a little yesterday. It's like nobody paid attention to his days at Auburn, but in the national championship against Oregon, they brought something to my life that I've seen that still plays out in the NFL. Cam struggles reading defenses, and you force him to drop back and throw. You force him to be a pocket passer. That's where you beat him at. Have you ever seen?
Well, that's what a lot of these quarterbacks coming out in these systems.
I know.
You have to do that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing people don't understand about the last year when he won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His numbers were terrible. Halfway through the season, his numbers were horrendous. He was like 15 and 12 interceptions. He just went on a streak. I think it was like two games. In two games, he threw like 10 touchdown passes. So that it jumps up to 25 and like 12 interceptions. So and then he went on a roll halfway through the season. Their defense had been carrying them.
Yeah.
So it kind of masked a little bit of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Last year is more of an average to what Cam usually really is.
I agree.
It's sad to say. I like him.
He's averagely around number 40 in the NFL. That's honestly how I feel about it. You know, I don't hate him or nothing. I actually love the guy. You know, he's smiling all the time. He's always positive. I like Cam Newton. I really do. But he's not a top. I don't know if I call him a top five quarterback, man. He was number one.
I'm going to say this, and it might get a little controversial. It might be a little over the top, but just based off what I see with Cam, I think Jameis over Cam. If I'm saying in a sense like this, if Jameis controlled that gunslinger mentality and really zero in, because he has all the tools to be a great quarterback. The thing is, and I feel like he's a better passer than Cam to me. Cam is just a better playmaker.
I tell you, right now in their careers, I'm taking Cam.
Yeah, I mean.
We're talking about coming out of college, I'd take Winston. But right now, I stick with Cam. You see what worked last year when they went to the Super Bowl. I would stick to that formula. you know, I would not
ball control,
change it.
I
know ball control. He has to run the ball. We'll play action deep. We got Benjamin and Funches outside. They're big targets. We got Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the extra run. Hey, if it's not there, take off. But I'd have him. You got to run different, Cam. You got to get out of bounds. You got to stop taking the hits, man.
He
got to run.
You
got to run smart. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at Russell Wilson. Look how they slide and get down and stuff like that. You're a big guy, but you got to be smarter, man.
Yeah, no excuses. Yeah, no excuses to take them hits no more. Because he got Christian McCaffrey, and I think Stewart's still there, too, so.
Yeah.
So, that's going to aid in that. So, you don't take no
so what's in for New Orleans, what do you think this stable of running backs? This stable of running backs.
Oh, man, that's going to be tough right there. That
sounds like a New Orleans fan crying in the back.
My son don't fear no. My son ain't no New Orleans fan. He might be. But I think AP going to do good.
I think he'll be a running back by committee. I think they
it all centers around Peyton, man. He has to stay committed to that and not getting Drew Brees 5,000 yards.
Oh, 5,000 yards, been killing him. Nobody wants to know
what
Drew Brees is regressing a little bit too.
That offensive line, man, I don't see him being good like that. I don't see it working out greatly for them like that, man.
Drew Brees is regressing a little bit too.
Mm-hmm. I would not say Drew is regressing. I'm just saying you just got to realize you cannot win with that, though.
Yeah.
You can't win with that. Yeah, he'll have good numbers and stuff. But like I said, when they won the Super Bowl, it was when that's when he threw the ball the least amount in his career, when they had the running back by committee, Pierre Thomas and those guys. You gotta throw it less to win, man.
I agree with that.
Look what Dallas did. We got away from Tony Romo and throwing the ball 50 times, and you see what happened.
You see what happened. Shut up.
Yeah. So I'll put it like this. This is going to be the division for the South. I'll still put Atlanta there.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa and Carolina are toss-up. It just depends on who does what. If Carolina
who you got?
Back to
so who going to do what? What's your prediction, man? I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm going right now. I'm going with the same format as last year until different. Atlanta, Tampa, Carolina, Saints. Carolina and Tampa can interchange at any time throughout the season.
Okay.
Pretty much that's how I see it. Because I don't really know what New Orleans is going to do. Because, I mean, with their line, offensive line issue now, I don't know.
Yeah, young Coleman too.
And that too. Their problem always been, but like Russ said, yesterday over on the show, that they need to control it more. Control it's like to help their corners. Because, like,
mm-hmm.
you're going back tit for tat, that's not going to win you nowhere. You're not going to go too far with that. That's like you're playing Madden, but both of y'all don't have no type of defense at all. Everybody just throwing flies.
Now, this is one of the few divisions I did like everybody's draft.
It was a good draft for everybody because I think everybody stuck within their needs. I think the Saints reached with a third running back, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what their plans are for Mark Ingram. I don't know if this is a contract year or not for him.
I think it is a contract year.
So, and then he's gonna be behind. It's gonna be like, well, they say Ingram starting and Peterson's supposed to come in, but you never know how that go throughout
Peterson
the season.
Hey, Peterson ain't talking like that.
So, I mean, we all know clearly Peterson, even at his age, is still better back than Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean.
When he says it, when he's on the field. When he's on the field, though.
Look, the guy, check this out. The guy told me, said, man, for Saints, he said, man, Adrian Peterson's going to kill y'all. So, you know, Adrian Peterson always killed Tampa, and we still beat them, even when it was with the Vikings. Adrian Peterson had 165-yard rushing, 140, 120-something. And he's 0-0 whatever against Tampa. I watched the last time we played him. Every season, like, it was the second quarter. Took a little toss. I knew it was over already. I said, oh, it's over. That's touchdown. 66.
No, you thinking about, in all fairness, you thinking about when they were in Minnesota. What quarterback they had in Minnesota, man?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, but who was that quarterback? Oh, yeah.
I mean, you give him Drew Brees. And that kid out of, I mean, think about what that play action going to be like, man.
It was your boy from Florida State. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put him on the line like that.
Oh, Christian Ponder? Oh, man, he had more rushing yards than Christian Ponder had throwing yards, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it was kind of rough. It's kind of rough.
Hey, man, I don't care where they from. Put them on blast, man. You got me, man.
How you got the division playing out? What's the rush?
This is a tough one. I think Carolina has the bounce back. I think their defense, they shore up, they go back to running the ball. I mean, you got the big targets outside, you got the little speedy quick target in the middle with Samuel and McCaffrey. So I think Carolina bounce back takes it. I think Atlanta is going to be hung over. Like I said, their defense is really not that good, and they're losing Shanahan, and they'll lose something. So I'm going to go Carolina, and because of that hangover, I'm going to have – and that depends. It all hinges on Doug Martin, man. It hinges on him, for real, if he can get his act together. So I'm going to say I do have – I'm going to go with Carolina, Atlanta, Tampa. New Orleans bringing up the rear. They just don't have enough on defense.
All right.
Until I know more about Doug Martin, I can't put them above Atlanta. So
10-6 is going to win the division.
10-6?
10 games usually win the division in the South. 10 or 9. 9 to 10 games win the division.
That's
typically
terrible.
In the South.
You are competitive as crap.
That's just how I usually go. So.
I think I'm going to take Carolina to win the division. I had Atlanta last year. They finally did it. It's time for
I picked Atlanta last year, too.
Yeah, it's time to jump off that boat. I'm there to ship a little bit. I'm gonna take Atlanta. I think Atlanta ties with Tampa for number two in the division, and I'm gonna take the Saints for last place in the division. They just need to be a little bit more proven for me. That's all.
Yeah. So who you got winning the head to head game between Tampa and Atlanta?
Ooh, between Tampa and Atlanta?
They're gonna split it. I'm telling you.
You think they split? I don't know.
They split last year. They split the year before that.
I'm putting you on the spot. Who you got? Number? Who you got? Tiebreaker. Who you got?
Come on, man. Come on.
I'm taking
the
left right now,
dog. I'm gonna go bold. I'm gonna be bold. Winner take all. I'm gonna put the chips in. Tampa's going to the playoffs. Tampa's gonna win 10 games this year.
Woo! Let me look at y'all.
I mean, they were close last year. So
this is the thing though.
I got like the
with Tampa.
On y'all schedule though.
This is the thing with Tampa. If they don't know how to be consistent and close out games, they'll be third in the division. If they don't, they ain't gonna do nothing. If they haven't learned how to close out games, but Tampa, they should beat the Rams. Tampa should have 10 wins last year. They should beat the Raiders.
The Rams, boy.
No, we should beat the Raiders when the Raiders was trying to give us the game.
Hey man, that's all, this is the NFL. Any given Sunday, anything
right.
can happen,
and
man.
Right.
We know this, man.
The thing is, they won. I'm talking about the level of their maturity wise. You know what I'm saying? Of
man,
closing games
back,
up.
Todd Gurley went on record to say that their offense felt like a high school offense, man. Come on, dog. I'm not even.
We'll get to the other divisions next week.
Yeah.
So wrapping up the show, we're gonna go with movies and DVDs and stuff. What are y'all watching? What do the people need to watch? What do they need to check out? What are your picks?
Oh man, I'm on that fire stick kind of kick, man. So I watch whatever.
I watched.
Give me what's got the interest right now.
Oh man, Flash. This TV show Flash. I just got through watching last episode on third season, and man, that thing is keeping me, dog. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Check it out. I think it's on Netflix. Fire Stick. Everybody, check that out. What you got, Joe?
You know, I've also been watching the little Flash here, trying to see what the buzz is about. See what DC got. It's not a bad show. It's pretty good. So I'll tell people to check it out. But I've been watching Split. I've been watching a couple
mm-hmm.
movies to catch up. So it's pretty good.
My pick, everybody go check out Wonder Woman. Great film. Best film in the DC universe by far.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm holding you to that.
Just know that.
Marvel over DC any day. I'm just putting out that. I mean, I know DC have their iconic superheroes and villains. Marvel is just so infinite with their characters and stuff. It's so many and so many stories, and they do a great job of tying everything in.
Just put it out there. I like them both. I want them both to be good. I want them both to succeed. I just want it to be interesting. But as an avid comic book fan, I grew up with these shows. I mean, we grew up in one of the greatest eras. I mean, we grew up watching Batman the Animated Series and the X-Men on Saturday. So I want them all to be great. But Wonder Woman finally did it for DC. She was the best thing about the Batman Superman movie. And she carried the torch in her own movie, and the future looks bright if they follow her example.
Hey,
but when it comes to Marvel DC, Marvel make mine Marvel, man. I always gravitated more to their characters. Their characters feel more grounded. It seems like their characters have flaws. When you talk about the DC characters, the biggest nitpick I have with them is their characters seem like gods. They can't be beaten. Like Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern. I mean, how can they lose? They have no flaws. And then you have Batman, who can think of anything. So that's why I like Marvel better.
Hey, man, on the street they call me the Winter Soldier. So I'm gonna let that go.
I agree. Off, man. Hey, who's your favorite superhero, man?
This is the after hours talk right here.
Favorite superhero?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Russ go first on that one.
Now, I'm going to let y'all go first because I want to hear y'all.
I think I know yours. If I had to guess Joe's, I would say Joe is definitely Wolverine.
I like the little guy. I like the little guy aggression. But you know who pushed up fast on me? Two people that kind of pushed up real fast on me, and that's Tony Stark and Iron Man.
Man.
And the damn Hulk. There's something about that Hulk.
Amen.
So them your top three?
That's my top three. I forgot one more person to make it a top four because I'm an even guy, like even numbers. Spider-Man.
Motherfucking Spider-Man. Dude, my top two, Spider-Man and Iron Man, off top.
I'm with y'all. Spider-Man is up there with mine. Spider-Man, Spider-Man's up there with mine, but when it comes to me, Captain America is my boy.
Oh, Cap! I knew Russell Steve.
Cap is my guy. Captain America. I gotta go with Captain America, Black Panther, T'Challa, the King of Wakanda, and Spider-Man. Those would probably be my top three. If I'm just sticking to the solo heroes, but Cap is my guy because it's his will. He'll never give up. He does what's right. In spite of everything, he will always like. It's why he's better than. I mean, Spider-Man looks up to Captain America.
He does.
That's true.
He's the strategic leader. And here's the thing: Cap is not the strongest. Cap is just peak human.
Yep.
He's not as strong. He's not like Thor. He's not the fastest. He's not. He's just the potential of human ability. And what that means is he's what humanity can be. It can be good. It can be it can be right, and that's what he embodies, and he'll never give up. It does not. He will never ever quit.
Tony Stark.
Everybody else has quit before. Everybody else has quit. Cap will never give up. I like Black Panther because he's a king, and he's smart. He's the smartest Tony Stark. He's as good a fighter as Cap, and he's richer than all of them put together.
They don't put him out as being smart like that. I feel like they should, man.
No, they haven't. They haven't dawned on his intelligence yet. He's one of the six smartest men in the Marvel Universe.
What?
Yeah,
he is.
Yes. You talk about him, Reed Richards, Tony Stark, Bruce Banner, Hank Pym.
Didn't he build where his fortress at or whatever.
Wakanda, they all built it. Wakanda is the most advanced technology, is the most advanced civilization on the planet. It's like not even close. And then you got Beast from the X-Men. Now when I talk about just comic book, X-Men are my favorite.
Oh yeah.
If I'm picking one comic I can read forever, it's X-Men.
Oh yeah.
And the one hero that doesn't get enough, forget Wolverine, is Cyclops, man.
I knew he was about to say Cyclops.
And they do not paint they do not paint Scott Summers in the right light. Scott Summers is so that dude is so bad, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they paint him kind of soft. They paint him soft, I'm being honest.
Man, he is that dude is so bad. Even Wolverine says it, man. He's like, sometimes I forget and then I remember why you're in charge. Like he's tactical wise, he's the best tactical mind in the Marvel Universe. Like Captain America has even said he's best when it comes to tactical mind.
I think Wolverine just speaks to that little aggression that we all have as humans.
Wolverine's an anti-hero. Everybody loves the smugness and all that. That's the same reason why people love Gambit. Gambit is another Wolverine.
Pretty much.
He's a little smug. He's a bad boy.
Remy LeBeau.
Remy LeBeau.
Man. Are they still coming out with their movie for Gambit? Or is
they canceled? I hope not.
They canceled.
Please. No, the directors keep leaving.
They need to get some.
Channing Tatum is still, he's still signed on, but every director.
Man.
Channing Tatum.
I don't like that.
That's what I said. That's why I said just don't do it.
I can't have Magic Mike playing Gambit.
Man, Fox movies are terrible. The X-Men movies. I mean, it's like two good X-Men movies out of all of them. It's only been like two of them. Logan was good. What?
The Apocalypse.
Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible.
Yeah, I
liked
it.
That was terrible.
I haven't watched it since I bought it. I watched it one time.
What's wrong with it? We don't have enough time for me to explain what's wrong with that movie.
You don't. First of all, Apocalypse isn't strong enough. He's way stronger than that. Way stronger.
No, not only that. Okay, first of all, so you're going to have Storm hair turn white after he touched her?
Yeah.
Storm hair was always white. Storm was a goddess in Africa. You got Psylocke. Why would Psylocke wasn't a horseman? And then you waste her. You waste Olivia Munn, one of my favorite actresses. You waste her and Psylocke. Then you get then you got that Angel. That's not Angel. I'm like, do you even know who the original X-Men are? Angel was one of the original X-Men. They have him over there. And then they make Quicksilver. He's too fast. Like he stops time when he runs. I'm like, he should never lose. He's faster than the Flash. He basically stops time when he runs. I'm like, he should never lose. And then you got that whole death scene with Magneto's child. Oh, man, that was terrible acting. Even Fassbender said it. He's like, yeah, that was kind of bad.
Man, I kind of like that movie, man.
No, that was terrible, man. That was the worst. That was almost as bad as The Last Stand, man.
Last Stand was horrible.
Oh, my God, man.
It's all... Apocalypse is just as bad as that. The only good one was First Class. First Class was good.
Hey, First Class was good.
First Class was good.
The one after First Class.
No. Days of Future Past. Days of Future Past was.
I was good with that.
It was passable.
That Last Stand was trash.
Last Stand was good. X-Men 2 was good. First class was the best one out of them.
First Class was definitely the best one out of
them. And when you want to get serious, the best two movies in the X-Men universe are Deadpool and Logan.
Hey, you like Logan like that?
Logan, that's the best Wolverine movie out of all of them.
Yeah.
The other two was crap.
Yeah.
That second Wolverine movie definitely should have been better.
Are you talking about Silver Samurai?
Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, that was terrible.
Way better.
I don't remember Silver Samurai being that huge.
No, he wasn't. He's not. Like Fox, I told you, man. Fox is terrible. You saw what they did with Fantastic Four.
All of them was garbage. They rebooted it and it was garbage.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four. I like them kids.
Oh man. Are we done? Your whole opinion about comic books is done with me, man.
Maybe I like Michael B. Jordan a little bit more than you, but man, I actually like.
You can like Michael B. Jordan, but don't you ever say that was good?
No, they was mad about that. They was mad. They was mad that he was playing Johnny Storm.
I mean,
yeah, because he was black. They were really upset about that. So that made me want to see it more. But when I saw it, I said, dang, it's still trash.
I could care less whether he was black or not. It's just that none of the characters fit the spirit of the character. That's this is what that's what.
I'm just gonna say,
this is,
Reed Richards wasn't like Reed Richards normally. Like
no,
I
this is what Marvel does so good. They get characters who fit the spirit of the character. Like you can't picture nobody else playing Iron Man but Robert Downey Jr. now.
Nobody, dog.
You can't picture nobody else playing Captain America but Chris Evans now.
Man, they talking about that boy. That might lead the set, man. Lead the scene.
Infinity
War.
That's the thing. Everybody captures the spirit of that character. Nick Fury, Samuel Jackson, man. This is what I say about Wonder Woman. She captures the spirit of Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot. She finally captured the spirit. Like the guy who, like Henry Cavill, you never think of him as Superman. Like Ben Affleck, you never like, oh, that's Batman. Nah. But
no.
You look at her, you'd be like,
no.
That's Wonder Woman.
They tried to do Batman like, it kind of reminded me of the video game a little bit. The way he was fighting, the way he was beating people up, because he was shooting.
Okay, that was the best thing about it. They didn't get his fighting right.
They got the
way he did his action. That was right, but still, him killing people and, you know, Batman don't kill. Everybody know that.
Yeah, man, he's on some other stuff. He was a better Batman than he was a Bruce Wayne.
You're terrible, Bruce Wayne.
Terrible. I think I was okay with the Superman character. I feel like I was okay with him.
He does the best with what they give him.
I can go with that.
They don't give him a lot. Did you know Spider-Man in Civil War? He had more lines of dialogue than Superman did in Batman Superman.
Are you kidding me? Thank you.
Yes.
I did not know that. I wouldn't even compare it.
Dude, they do not let – he never talks. And here's the thing. He doesn't play a convincing Clark Kent either.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
That's why, for my money, the best superhero movies –
definitely.
I mean, you put Avengers up there just because it was the first one to put all these characters together.
Dude, the Avengers blew my mind.
First one, but to me, pound for pound, like when you put every movie under the microscope and you look at what they did right and what they did wrong, to me, Captain America: Winter Soldier, pound for pound, is my favorite.
Man, look, first movie to blow me away was Batman Begins. You gotta be honest, man.
Batman Begins was good. Now, I say superhero movie. We talk about it's superhero movie, and then they're comic book movies.
I got you.
It's a difference. Like that feels heroic. When something feels heroic, like what Captain America does, those Dark Knight movies, them was comic book. Those were more like graphic novels.
Yeah.
Like 300 is a graphic novel.
Yeah, it's not like a sci-fi feel to it.
It's not a superhero movie. It's a graphic novel. Just like Dark Knight, that was like a graphic novel. That didn't feel like a superhero movie.
Exactly. Superhero is more of a sci-fi kind of feel. More of a, man, these people out of this world awesome. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's got some fantasy elements. It's fantasy elements to it. Yeah, it's not a lot of fantasy in the Dark Knight movies.
Definitely
yeah.
Not Dark Knight.
Man. It's trash. I'm just being honest.
What?
Fox needs to go ahead and just sell, man. Fox needs to sell back. You know
Fox. They need to just let it get back, like Sony did with Spider-Man. Just let it go back. Let Marvel help out.
Yep.
Y'all can make some money off of it, but we gonna control it.
Agreed. Definitely agree.
I got one question.
I would like to see the X-Men and Avengers fight.
You and me both.
Whoa.
What you got, Joe?
Jesus. Right, one question.
What are you talking
about? I just saw something that caught my eye. Do y'all think before the draft, Paul George gets traded to the Lakers? Because I see that as engaging talks prior to the draft.
You saw the trade that went down today, right?
Yeah.
From
what I'm hearing, that trade is to try to make room for LeBron.
Yeah.
Next offseason. Do you think he's going to be a Laker next offseason?
Bro, I don't know. I would not look past the Clippers either.
For LeBron?
Think about it. What's the one? We got a shooter in Redick. We got a point guard. We got a power forward. We got a center. Do they have a three?
You're right about
no
that.
No prayer
hey,
at all.
Hey, Joe, honestly, Joe, that's what I've been telling you all along. They need that
and
one.
The thing is,
three.
I like that. Other than LeBron, I mean, what's a better fit other than LeBron going to San Antonio?
Oh, Lord, man, that's
I mean, you kick Kawhi to the two, put LeBron at the three, man.
Aldridge at the four, five, if you want him now.
He's at the four.
Aldridge got to step up.
Yeah, he got to go back to Portland, Aldridge, man.
Yeah, he's disappointing right now. He's disappointing.
He can't beat Aldridge to San Antonio. y'all watch some Game of Zones?
Yeah.
Game of Zones, yeah.
You should have one with San Antonio, like they kick your soul or something.
The White Walkers, yeah.
Exactly, dog. That's what happens to people when they go to San Antonio.
So the Lakers trying to make moves. The Lakers trying to make moves.
Oh, yeah, Lakers trying to make moves, dog.
But will it pay off, though? Pay
hey,
off
man,
in the end.
I'm going to let y'all boys go to my wife calling me, dog.
Y'all be blessed. On that
I
note,
too, man.
We're in this today.
You too, man.
All right, dog.
It was
good to have you.
It was another great show. Glad to have everybody out there. Everybody be blessed. Mr. Rush, you have any final thoughts?
I think we said it all, man. Boy, Mr. Hunter, you disappointed me in your comic book review, your comic book movie. Other than that, it was a good, great conversation.
So we'll be back next week. We'll get it popping. There should be more controversy and drama and everything else to talk about. But we'll be back next week. I'll be blessed.
Bless.
Peace.